1450 AM in Richland. ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The next several hours will be critical in Southern California. The Santa Ana winds are kicking up again, and the humidity is very low. ABC News Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z has more on which areas are the diciest.
The biggest area that we're extreme risk for today until 3 p.m., that's that PDS, particularly dangerous situation, red flag warning, goes through the San Fernando Valley. It's over toward Ventura, along the 101, the 405.
The winds are expected to die down and the humidity is expected to pick up beginning tomorrow. A deep freeze settling into the Midwest. Wind chills well below zero in Chicago, Minneapolis, and Milwaukee. President Biden delivers a farewell address from the Oval Office this evening. More of President-elect Trump's cabinet picks will also be before Senate committees today ahead of confirmation votes. The U.S. Supreme Court will take up the issue of online porn. The arguments this morning over a Texas law requiring proof of age before accessing certain sites. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. It is mighty cold, and as temperatures drop into the single digits and below this week and next, UW Health Kids has essential safety reminders to keep the young ones safe in winter weather. Rochelle Ethan, Child Safety and Injury Prevention Manager for UW Health Kids, says many winter injuries are preventable. She reminds families to let children come indoors periodically to prevent hypothermia or frostbite, wear sunscreen, and stay hydrated even in the cold. Indoors, make sure there is a carbon monoxide detector on every floor, including sleeping areas. And when in the car, wearing bulky clothes or winter coats can prevent a snug, proper fit of a child's car seat harness. Adjust the harness while the child's coat is off, then put the coat on top like a blanket. Wait until you arrive at your destination before putting the coat back on. A closed child care center in Toma has no plans to reopen. Kids and Company was abruptly closed last week when the Toma VA Medical Center revoked its lease over compliance issues. The daycare's board chair said the closure was unexpected, but said it wasn't due to any rules violations. According to state officials, the center has had a number of reported incidents as of late, including an injury to a child caused by a staff member, which was not reported right away. The center had a capacity of 40 children. Edgewood College is changing its name. It'll now be Edgewood University. The college is turning 100 in 2027. Graduate programs were first introduced at Edgewood in the 80s. That's typically when institutions are considered universities. The name change will take effect in July. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks topple the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks took command in the first quarter and beat the Sacramento Kings 130-115. Giannis Antetokounmpo with his 50th career triple-double on getting off to a fast start.
We had like a pace about us, I think, in the first quarter. And we would just make shots, too. I think we scored like 45 points, 47 points in the first light. So that's good.
In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers beat the Ohio State Buckeyes 70-60. That was Greg Gard's 200th career win as head coach. Marquette on the road in Chicago went into overtime with DePaul, but pulled out an 85-83 win over the Blue Demons. In the NFL, Packers quarterback coach Tom Clements announcing he's decided to retire. He is 71 years old. Running back A.J. Dillon says he'll return stronger than ever. Dillon spent all of last season on IR with a neck stinger. He's set to become a free agent. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Sunny this morning, becoming mostly cloudy and breezy by later this afternoon. It will be warmer today with a high of 21. Tonight, 17. Tomorrow, breezy, cloudy in the morning, a little sunshine in the afternoon, 35. We will get to 41 on Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 1 below zero.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Top of the show at 2 p.m. I dissect Jack Smith's January 6th insurrection report. You're not going to want to miss this lawyer lady breaking it down for you.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. And, you know, hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. Another day of the cold.
Yeah, man. You know, is tomorrow the day that we're supposed to get 40?
I think Friday's supposed to hit 40, but I would expect it's supposed to start trending that direction tomorrow.
Yeah, one day, and then it drops back down. But anyway, for those of you, you know, who are watching this, let me do this. Please help the victims of the devastating fires in California. You will find an easy way to donate to the Convoy of Hope at our website, civicmedia.us, and thank you. For those of you who are watching this via the stream, you know, I have on my woke hat, and people always ask me, well, why do you have a hat on that says woke? And I'm like, hey, man, I know the definition of woke, the real definition of woke. According to Merriam-Webster or Rose's Thesaurus, not the definition of woke according to Republicans who've changed the definition. So it's my way of protesting. I wear my woke hat. I like to go amongst the enemy, and I always have my woke hat on. Hey, what is that? Hey, man, look up the definition. You'll find out what it is.
I like that. I like that, Earl. You're going to have to put that out there. I'm going to get one.
So anyway, it's Wednesday, and that means I am always honored and privileged to have on the gang, Robert Miranda of Freshwater for Life Flack, and Paul Swartz, who is here, co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water. And as Tony says this morning, time to get the lead out. So so good morning, guys, and how are you doing?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning. I think you had it right the first time. Fort water for fresh life.
you know, man, Robert, you know, another situation in our city. I'll let you, you know, begin and then we'll just, you know, do what we do.
No problem. And let me allow my colleague to introduce himself as well.
Oh, I didn't introduce Paul Swartz, co-founder of Campaign for Lead Free Water. I certainly apologize, sir.
No. And Calvin, the hardest working tech that I know, for this opportunity, and it's a really important subject today. So back to Robert.
Yeah, and I want to say this, Robert, before we let you get started. It is just so frustrating to me I'm looking at a Newsweek article late 2024, and it says map shows states with most dangerous levels of lead in pipes. And you look at a place like Illinois, the worst, in Florida, the worst of the worst, and you look at the sheer numbers of children, man. Per EPA, Illinois has a projected 702,526 lead service lines and a projected 1,071,355 lead lines. And then they talk about how many children, you know, are affected by this. And, man, I don't know how you can even sleep when you know those numbers of families and children are being poisoned and we can't get it fixed.
Yeah, it's a very, very serious hazard that is damaging the health of children today and generations to come. It's something that this government needs to take much more seriously. The people of this country need to really study it and understand it much more than they have right now. And the whole idea that this is just hurting and harming the development of our children. A lot of our children grow up to be adults who have been poisoned and lose a lot of potential and a lot of human creativity once they are tainted and harmed by this. You know, the level of lead that impacts our body is really dependent on the system of the body of the individual. But some of us may be able to handle it better than others. But the problem is that a lot of children who do not handle this become damaged for life. And there needs to be efforts to not only remove this hazard, but to educate the public with solid science-based information that gives them the opportunity to challenge the system in the way it needs to be challenged to correct this problem. And go ahead, Paul.
Paul?
No, spot on, Robert. And I just wanted to say a little bit about, for the listeners, about what lead does from a health perspective. Robert touched on the permanency of damage that happens when you have an exposure to lead, but lead is implicated in developmental delays, lowered IQ, damage to the brain and nervous system, learning and behavioral problems, hearing problems, headaches, reproductive problems, higher blood pressure, kidney problems, premature births, miscarriage, spontaneous abortions, stillbirths, reduced sperm counts, among other things. And while it really damages fetuses that are in development and children between, you know, from birth to six more, because they're not just little adults and their systems are developing, it can harm every person. And, you know, the problems of cardiovascular issues happen in part because of lead exposure. So really, because lead is omnipresent, it's everywhere in our built environment, it's something to pay attention to. And the issue of lead in water, and what we're talking about in the schools, is something that is really misunderstood by school officials, by health departments, and by the folks who inhabit the schools. You know, whether they're little kids or women of childbearing age. You know, we have child and daycare centers in some schools. You know, all those things. So we're going to talk a little bit about today about one circumstance, but I think you can pretty much generalize from that circumstance to Milwaukee and across the school districts in Wisconsin and around the country.
You know, Robert, before we get into that, I've been thinking about this. So lead in the water and children of today who've been impacted. You know, Paul, Robert, our generation were also exposed to lead water. And when we look at our development and the things that have impacted and affected many of us, and we haven't attributed those things to lead in the water, but clearly all of us who've been exposed to lead in the water, you know, baby boomers and such, have been affected by this. Is it safe to say that, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Lead has been in multiple generations here in the United States, and it's a known teratogen, which means it gets passed from the mother through to the baby. And so people are born with body burdens of lead already. And then we add to it. So absolutely, Earl.
And the idea that, you know, when we talk about lead poisoning specific to the Black community, where a large number of these pipes and the lead and water is significant. I've, over the last 10 years on this issue here in Milwaukee, have spoke with many, many people. And people who used to live in the north side and in areas where there are pockets of lead pipes that are just in huge numbers would tell me, you know, when I was growing up here on Burleigh, right, or somewhere, and when I moved out of that environment and moved into Oak Creek, or, right, or I moved into Sussex, my health started getting better. I stopped getting headaches. I stopped feeling sick. And that's because they who are there now in the north side of Milwaukee, who are not able to get out of that environment, are being poisoned every day by a ubiquitous element in the water, and that is lead. And they're constantly being poisoned, and their body is being affected in one way or another. They don't understand it well enough to realize that they're getting sick until they move out of that environment, right, and get into a cleaner environment, a fresher water providing environment, that they start realizing that their health is being affected in one way or another. And that's when they start putting it together, that water was playing a role in the way they were feeling.
You know, Robert, you're a military vet, and, you know, the amount of money that we spend in development of weapons of mass destruction and the waste that we spend in our military budget could fix all of this and, you know, and not put a dent in the military budget. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll certainly get to you. My guest, Robert Miranda, he's with Fresh Water for Life, Flack, and Paul Swartz, co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, a school in the city of Milwaukee where a student has just been, you know, diagnosed with lead poisoning. 855-752-4842. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going
slower. iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
News from the center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guest, Paul Swartz, co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and my good friend Robert Miranda of FLAC. And Robert, you want to talk, before we go to the phone lines and answer some texts, Robert, you want to talk about a situation that occurred in Milwaukee Public Schools and is in the journal Sentinel the last couple of days.
So a parent contacted me recently, a couple of days ago, and provided us copies, the GTLO, to get the Let Out Coalition, copies of a press release that was issued by the Milwaukee Public Schools announcing that a student at Golden Meier School here in Milwaukee was determined to have been lead poisoned. And they're determined that the lead poisoning was caused by lead paint out of the building's basement bathroom area there. And so the parent was concerned and asked for our input and assistance in looking into this matter, and we were able to provide support and give guidance as to the kind of response parents at the school should be having while they're being told certain things that from the press release we saw was already providing misinformation and misleading information. In regards to the lead paint issue, the MPS officials,
Milwaukee Public Schools, for people who don't know, but go ahead.
Right. Milwaukee Public Schools officials are doing their work in regards to that. But as they're moving forward and talking about lead and water, the information becomes murky and inaccurate in some cases. And you see that already when they announce preventative measures in the press release, and the press release talks about how families can take care of themselves. And one of those is, again, dealing with this issue of flushing your water for a few minutes and basically running it, and that supposedly will become magically free of lead. Again, it does do the work to remove soluble lead in the water. It'll remove soluble lead. But as you run the water, studies like the one at Louisiana State University, the study shows that it is really an unreliable kind of way of fighting lead in water. And when you run water, the water's energy moving through the pipe tends to release particulate matter into the water. The longer the water runs, the more likely particulate matter falls into the water. So I don't blame NPS for pushing that narrative. I do blame the Milwaukee Health Department and the Milwaukee Water Works for continuing to press that narrative, because if they're going to, I blame them for not at least putting a disclaimer with that, saying that there are studies out there that indicate this practice is not as reliable as having filters. And that's the other issue I have with the press release of Milwaukee Public Schools. And the public schools put out this press release on the Golda Meir incident and says nothing in the preventative measures to use filters. And again, this is a tragic for the families at the school, for the city, for the country as a whole. And what government and government agencies and institutions need to do is make a priority of advising families and the community that the first line of defense against this scourge are filters, period. That is the biggest misleading information that they're putting out there, is not including in a lot of their narratives and a lot of their documents. Filters must be the top priority of families to be putting in their homes to fight against this scourge.
You know, Paul, we're going to ask you, because you're in, for people who don't know, you're in Washington, D.C. You've been fighting this battle, campaign for lead-free water, and you've had to deal with these things in schools. Your thoughts?
Thank you, Earl, for that question. I think in the meeting that the Milwaukee Public School folks had with the parents and the principal of Golda Meir, as Robert said, there was a lot of information that was put out. And some of that information was really helpful, like there are water filters at the bubblers. They were installed in 2016. And the problem with that is that we don't really have any transparency about how often and when tests have been done about whether those filters are working. We don't have the results from those filter tests being accessible. We're not clear where the filters have been placed or not placed. One of the things that was said by Craig Wentworth.
Paul, I got to get you to hold the thought. 855-752-4842. We're talking with again Robert Miranda and Paul Swartz, and we're dealing with lead in the water. We'll come to you guys. You're tuned into the Early Room Show.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Madison will soon have its interim police chief. Assistant Chief John Patterson will take the helm. He was confirmed by the Police and Fire Commission Monday night. He has the support of Chief Sean Barnes and two other assistant chiefs. He'll take over when Barnes leaves for his new position in Seattle. Patterson has spent more than 25 years at the Madison Police Department. Barnes' last day is February 1st. Now the Police and Fire Commission will work to find the next permanent leader of the Madison Police Department. Governor Tony Evers, joined by violence prevention advocates, local law enforcement, elected officials, students, and community members, signed an executive order today creating a statewide Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention and announced he is directing $10 million for the office to begin its work and administer grants supporting violence and gun violence prevention efforts statewide. The governor's announcement builds upon his and the Evers administration's long-term efforts to address crime, prevent gun violence, and bolster efforts to keep kids, families, schools, and communities safe. Among critical responsibilities, the Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention will work to connect the dots between state and local government agencies, including law enforcement agencies, to ensure a whole-of-government approach to prevent violence, including gun violence statewide, support and provide technical assistance to local violence prevention and intervention efforts, administer and award grants to school districts, firearm dealers, law enforcement agencies, nonprofits, and government agencies to support violence reduction and prevention initiatives, develop public education campaigns to promote safer communities, and identify opportunities to improve statewide policies or laws. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Seven-time Super Bowl champ and one-time husband, Tom Brady, has come under fire all year long for his on-air gaffes while providing color commentary during NFL games. During last week's game between the Packers and Eagles, Brady accidentally referred to the Eagles as the Phillies, then later in the broadcast referred to Packers running back Josh Jacobs as Brandon Jacobs. This comes on the heels of Brady forgetting the name of one of the teams that beat the Packers during a recent telecast. In addition to Brady misspeaking, when his broadcast partner talks to him, he often nods his head so much, a viewer could get vertigo. Yeah, he's not that great. But people on social media are losing their minds over his missteps. Word to the wise, if it's brilliant elocution you're looking for, don't try to find it on an NFL pregame broadcast from the guy who took shots to the head well into his middle age. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny this morning, becoming mostly cloudy and breezy by later this afternoon. It will be warmer today with a high of 21. Tonight, 17. Tomorrow, breezy, cloudy in the morning, a little sunshine in the afternoon, 35. We will get to 41 on Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 2 below 0.
Matt and Air on Air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going bumba da bumba da bumba da bumba da bumba da
bumba? Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
On the way, Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau joins us. I got an interesting voicemail about I don't have to worry about paying any taxes. Also, who is coming in on H-1B visas? Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It was Wednesday. That means Robert Miranda from Plaque and Paul Swartz, co-founder of Campaign for Lead Free Water. And we're talking about an article that appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and a parent that Robert talked to that reached out to him as their child was found to be lead poisoned in one of Milwaukee public schools. But before we go back to Paul, Robert, I think it's important to say that Golda Meir is one of the top performing schools in Milwaukee Public Schools and can compete with schools anywhere in the nation. So these are parents who are informed. These are parents who, for the most part, are educated. And these are parents who are not going to take things sitting down. They're engaged in their child's life and their child's education. So you're not talking about, you know, something that's going to be just brushed over. Is it safe to say that, Robert?
Oh, yeah. And the recent letter that this parent sent to the Milwaukee Public Schools officials truly indicates the level of knowledge and concern that she has in regards to this matter, Golda Meir Library or Golda Meir School. The questions that she raised, she even had information regarding maximum containment level goals that was released by the LCR back in like 1991, challenging MPS officials who were basically saying at the meeting that the parents were at that the lead levels in the water were safe. And she basically challenged that and said, you know, I'm going to have to differ with you on that. The maximum containment goals that was put out there by the lead copper rule says the safe level of lead is zero. So wherever MPS is getting that information is basically coming from the EPA, really, who is using this non-health science-based backed number that they're throwing out there of an acceptable level of lead. An EPA that is not as strong as it should be, but will become even weaker now that we have a new administration coming in. And if you think it's a cesspool now at the EPA, it's going to be something more and something worse under the Trump administration.
Hey, Paul, you were saying before we went to break about, you know, Washington, D.C., and I asked a question about, you know, how you guys were able to, you know, with the schools and the same kind of issues we're talking about. How did that wind up?
Yeah, Earl. In D.C., we've had a very similar situation to Milwaukee and many other places around the country with lead and water in our schools and really bad information. Unfortunately, the approach that lots of schools have taken is to really not look at the water and understand how it comes through the tap. In D.C., as in Milwaukee, we established a filter-first program. Unfortunately, in Milwaukee, according to Craig Wentworth.
Who is Craig Wentworth?
So he's one of the people within the Milwaukee public school system who's dealing with this lead crisis, Golda Meir. And he said that while they've placed filters that have the appropriate certifications to remove lead at the bubblers at the fountains, that if they take a test of a tap and it comes at some what he called low number, then they don't get fitted with filters. And the real problem with that is that it betrays a lack of knowledge and expertise about lead and water. So imagine Russian roulette. If you have a gun with six chambers and you put only one bullet in, the first five times you shoot, you might not have a bullet come out. But the sixth time,
it's guaranteed, it's gonna, right?
And the same thing is true with these taps that they say have low numbers. And then they compound the problem by saying that because there's no lead laterals or lead service lines going into the schools, that there really shouldn't be a problem. Now, they did say they swapped out some of the leaded brass fittings and faucets. But, you know, in schools, you have lots of linear feet of lead pipe. And as Robert was saying earlier, you can have both soluble lead, that's like sugar being mixed in water, hot water or for coffee or tea. And you can have lead particles that fall off randomly. And so testing doesn't often capture those lead particles that can have up to hazardous waste levels of lead. They just come out variably. And so one question that we would have for the Milwaukee public school system and for the health department in Milwaukee is, who are their experts on lead and water? And what is the science that they're pointing to? Can they show us that? And how are they actually dealing with testing protocols? You know, in DC, we test at least once a year, and there's a public website that shows what the results of the tests are. And those are post-filtration tests. And the filtration stations are for all of the water that's used for drinking and cooking in the schools. We don't have a perfect system here in DC, but it's brought down the exposure tremendously. And so we would like some more transparency from the Department of Health and from the Milwaukee public schools officials to understand what their protocols are. And that also goes to the blood testing issue, because we don't know if all of the students have been tested. We also know that blood lead only lasts in the blood, has a half-life of about 30 days. So if people aren't getting tested within this window or 60-day window, then they can have either dramatically decreased levels of lead in their blood, or you can miss it altogether and the damage has
been done. Well, the schools don't test the students. That's something that's done independently by doctors and parents. Is that safe to say, Robert?
There are opportunities for students of MPS to get tested if parents would ask MPS to move on that. But by and large, I think the testing is basically done at a as needed kind of basis.
Right.
And so MPS, as you recall, back in 2016, did a district-wide test of all their bubblers throughout the district. And at that time, they found over 180 issues of bubblers out of over 3,000 that they tested. And that's when they went ahead and started moving on a filter program and started putting out filters in all their bubblers. That's 10 years ago, just about. The question becomes now, since that time and in between, have the filters been maintained properly? Have they done the kind of test in that period from the time they tested district-wide in 2016 to the present? Have they done testing like that again? And have they basically been informing parents as to the safety of their waters in their schools? And so there has to be more information coming out of MPS in regards to lead and water. I know they're doing a lot of work around the lead paint issue, but to basically do what this administration here in Milwaukee likes to do, and that is to dismiss the hazard of lead in water as a kind of secondary, second-class hazard that isn't as important as lead paint, is an injustice that is being conducted against the community, and it's a harm being done on the community because lead in water is as prevalent of an issue, of a danger to the health of our community as much as lead paint, soil, and dust.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl, and your guests. They came through our small community and replaced the laterals to a lot of the old Victorian homes. And I inquired how much the city got a grant, and the company came through, and I found out that supposedly the contractor got about $6,000 a lateral. That, I don't know if that figure is accurate. That is a question. But they were there for about maybe 3.5 or 4 hours. Just think of how many Brita filters and pitchers could be distributed throughout the country and solve the problem for $30 a pitcher or a filter system. You talk about the filter system for the schools. That is a great idea, and it should be pursued.
Hey, CJ, a Brita filter basically holds a gallon or two worth of water. It's a stopgap. It's not the solution.
I put a filter system on my house for about $1,200 for the water that comes into the house. Because, like I asked you before, Earl, and one of your guests previously about this, sure, it was great for the city to spend $6,000 of the federal government to spend $6,000 for the lateral. But the old Victorian still has lead pipes in the house. How much does that cost to replace those pipes?
Okay. Either one of you want to respond to that?
Yeah, thanks, CJ, for your points. I think they're very trenchant. And Earl, you're right that filters are a temporary solution while we're looking to get lead out of contact with water, but really necessary. And from a public health prevention perspective, we need to make sure that people know what are the right filters and where to place them. And CJ, hopefully in addition to your whole house filter, which is very expensive, that you have something that gets rid of the lead that's accumulating in the water from the pipes inside the home and all the way through the faucet. And that's why we recommend faucet mounted or countertop style filters that are certified with the NSF 42 and 53 certifications to get rid of dissolved lead and to get rid of lead particles. In terms of the cost question that CJ asked, it's prohibitively expensive to swap out the lead pipes or the pipes with the lead solder and flux in homes. And
all right.
We don't manufacture lead-free pipes.
All right, 855-752-4842. We're talking about lead in the water. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it?
But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
News from the center, WRCE.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go round.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guests, Robert Miranda of Flack, and Paul Swartz, co-founder for Lead Free Water. Tony says, what are the lead tests like? Is it something you can do your on your own, or do you have to go somewhere to get it done? Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, for thanks for that, Tony. For testing at the tap, that's a really difficult thing to get right. So if you want to figure out how much lead on average is coming through your tap, for worst case scenarios, according to peer-reviewed literature, because of the high variability of lead, it can take upwards of 1,200 tests to get with confidence within 20% of a mean value coming out of any one tap. So you can get a test that might tell you what is at your tap for the moment, but not what will be there in an hour, a day, a week, or a month. And so you can have zero or pretty, one or two or three parts per billion now, and you can have hundreds or thousands of parts per billion in an hour, a day, or a week. It's a little bit like whack-a-mole.
He also asked you guys had an excellent explanation of the problem of lead in the water. He says, what does Wisconsin look like if we fix this, and what's the vision of the future?
Well, Wisconsin would look like a very productive state. The city of Milwaukee would look like a city that has been able to stabilize. And what I mean by stabilize is, reduce crime levels, improve educational achievements. Getting rid of this element would really vastly improve the stability of the community. And I want to touch a little bit on what CJ brought up. I mean, I want to make sure that the point is clear. When I advocate for filters, I advocate it as a primary defense against this in our water supply. I advocate strongly for the removal of the pipes. And he said that he talked with the people and they told him $6,000 to remove those pipes, laterals, is a bargain. I've been in many meetings where the number to cost to remove pipes have been $11,000, $12,000, $13,000. So $6,000 is a bargain. But it is important to remove these lead laterals. They gotta be removed because it's not only impacting the home that the lateral is tied into, it's impacting the entire water system of the city. Imagine 60,000, 70,000 pipes that are made of lead servicing our homes. A lot of that lead is being put back into the mains and circulating throughout the city through the mains. And especially when they flush out hydrants, you every now and then in the summer, you see them flushing out hydrants. That water gets pulled out, and a lot of that water from the lead laterals get pulled back into the main. And that's all being contaminated. And so it's no wonder that as the Milwaukee Water Works does its 90 percentile readings, that their tests come out saying that there is some form of detectable lead level in the water after their tests have been completed. And in this recent report they did in 2023, it was at a level of 5.3 parts per billion. That they haven't achieved zero at all. There's still lead in the water, and it's everywhere. It isn't just in the homes. It's that are affected. It is everywhere.
Paul?
Thank you. So I think it's important to recognize that the investments we make as a people collectively through our government are really important, because the market's not going to take care of this. And without thinking about what the real benefits are going to be for getting the lead out of the water, we're going to cut off our nose to spite our face. In terms of the lead exposures across communities, there's both individual costs and there's community costs. Studies show that when you have broad-scale lead exposure, there's a 20 to 23-year gap between that lead exposure and increases in anger and violence and close associations with homicide. So there's a price to be paid, not only at the individual level that we've been talking about, but at the community level as well.
So, guys, I want to thank you once again. We'll be reconnecting on next week. Have a great week, and look forward to seeing you guys again next Wednesday.
Take care, Earl.
All right, thank you. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We've got a lot to talk about today. One of the things we're going to talk about is Democrats looking for new blood. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Drop all your troubles by the riverside. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel fly.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author Jody Hinman into the studio. Then director Anders Lindwall joins the show to discuss his film Green and Gold. That's how you light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch, and they're not going to find you for 3 days.
Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Several Senate confirmation hearings are happening today. The Judiciary Committee beginning its questioning right now of Attorney General nominee Pam Bondi. Later, the Foreign Affairs Committee will be questioning Marco Rubio, who's hoping to become the next Secretary of State. President Biden delivers a farewell address this evening from the Oval Office. Santa Ana winds are picking up in Southern California again. That's the highest level of red flag fire warning is also up for today for Los Angeles. They're closing in on a ceasefire deal in the Middle East.
Cautious optimism here. ABC News learning that Israel and Hamas have agreed on the core elements of a ceasefire deal, but Hamas yet to respond to the latest draft of an agreement. Haggling still going on.
ABC senior foreign correspondent Ian Pannell. A new look on the economy and inflation. The month-to-month reading on inflation showed a 0.4% increase between November and December. Investors encouraged the numbers weren't higher. The Dow was up 660 points ahead of the open. This is ABC News.